Welcome back to Veterans Talk, and welcome to another episode with me, your host, Priscilla Jones. Today, I'm here to share my journey in the experiences leading to my lung surgery and then some. And let me tell you, it was quite the journey and experience. In previous episodes from Back with a Story and Living with the Coronavirus, I had referenced that I was needing surgery for my right lung. So this is a continuation of that story. Now, at last we met, I was coming home from the first lung surgery, from the only lung surgery, actually. And I was at home in the remote recovery process. It's called convalescent care, you know, but no one uses that term these days anymore. When I got out of the Uber car, I had asked the driver if he could lift up and place my rollator at my door on the second floor where I live, because I couldn't carry anything heavy. He was quite nice and did that and took my belongings and placed it in front of my door. So I went inside with everything and rested. I was still in pain, of course, and got myself sorted with my belongings later, putting up stuff. So now it was around 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and as usual, there was no one to greet me or help me. I had to do it all by myself. I'm independent enough to know my own limitations, and it's not like I expected any help from anyone. My daughter was doing her student teacher for her master's degree, so I want her to go get that, you know? She helps when she gets home. I was doing a lot of sleeping with the medications that I was given. I hardly had an appetite, and when I did, by the time I struggled to cook, my appetite was gone. It left me. The Manhattan VA hospital arranged for me to continue with the occupational and physical therapy at home. The service was a home health care company, and the first nurse that came, I never seen her again. Okay, so I didn't know that people rotated schedule, but it is what it is. It went like this. The nurse will call Monday night, let's say, for example, sometime between 4 or 5 to say they'll be at my place the next day at 9 o'clock in the morning. Then the therapist, each occupational and the physical therapist, each would do the same thing. Pick a day and they would call me the night before to schedule for the next day. That got annoying after a while because, you know, with medication, you're tired. And I know I was cranky already because I was used to ambulating by myself. So when I got a stable nurse, and what I mean is the same person consistently, all she focused was on the chest tube wound and checking on the other three incisions. Because I had two incisions under my right boob and one in the back, way in the back. The incisions were covered with Steri-Strips, and I had to avoid getting them wet for 14 days. The nurse at Manhattan VA said they usually fall off by themselves. So the physical and occupational therapists were fine at first until they seemingly forgot I just came out of the hospital and started using intense exercises, which I really disliked, okay? So at the end of October 2023, I didn't want them around mentally, okay? I always had to take painkillers, you know, really, and sleep afterwards when they came. And it was constantly, it was always that way. So, the VA sent me a shower chair for the bathtub so I could take a shower in. And a VersaFrame for the toilet. A VersaFrame, that's what it looks like, a U-shaped handle, and it doesn't attach to anything. It slides in between your toilet so that you'll be able to lift yourself up and, you know, relax yourself, ease yourself on going down to sit on the toilet. So they gave me that, which was great for them. And these aids were helpful, you know, for my ambulatory, but it was a slow progression. Ooh, very, very slow, okay? So with all the therapy and the nurse care, I was still coughing up lots of fluid and phlegm daily and at night. I had little energy and strength. That could have been also contributed to my time with the home health care people. I had a pulmonary appointment on November the 1st, so I had to be mentally prepared for that. I went to that appointment via the DAV van service and came back later that morning. I sat down for a few moments after climbing up those darn stairs and took my pain meds and then went to sleep. Afterwards, I woke up coughing up the fluids and wanted to eat some food, but lost my desire to eat when I started the meal preparation. That was crazy. I was feeling awful, and so I went back to sleep. When I woke up that evening, on November the 1st now, okay, their coughing wouldn't stop, and it was severely painful, a real painful cough, like a stabbing cough towards my back. So I was trying to avoid it, to coughing like that, and I coughed one hurtful time, and you'd never believe what happened, okay? I felt this wetness in my back, and while I continued to cough, the liquid kept coming out. Oh my gosh, I yelled for help, and my daughter came in and looked at my back. My clothes were soaked with blood and fluid, and she saw that every time I coughed, more blood and fluid gushed out. Whew. She helped me change my clothes twice, threw my bed sheets, clothes, and blankets into the wash machine, and changed my bandages at least three times. This thing's happened, you know, because every time when I cough, it just soaked through the bandage and soaked through my clothing, soaked into the bed sheets, soaked onto my comforter that I laid upon. I mean, it was just nonstop. And it was a constant rotation she had to do. And we had to change it. So she helped me to change, like I said, my clothes twice. And she threw my bed sheets and clothes and blankets into the wash machine and changed my bandages at least three times. Okay? No exaggeration. At least three times we had to do this throughout the night. So after so much blood and fluid kept flowing, we decided that I would go back to Manhattan VA to get it checked out. I called the NP, the nurse practitioner there at the thoracic clinic, and explained what was happening. And he sent an ambulance to come and get me. I was so tired and in pain, I couldn't pack a full bag before they came. My back still had the last bandage that my daughter put on. So now they'll have evidence of how everything looks like. It had soaked through my sweater blouse, so I packed an extra winter blouse with some minor things. I got to the emergency room department, and they did the standard vitals. Everyone questioned me about what happened and wanting to see the opening. Like it was some big exhibit, you know? I felt like a real show going on. They put fresh bandages on, but there was no stopping the flow. So after taking blood and waiting for answers, a nurse came in and to put the admissions wristband on and wheel me to my room. Once again, back admitted at Manhattan VA. Oh gosh. So they wheeled me to the same floor and ward I was at the last time, but in a different room. It wasn't a normal room for sure, because usually there's the door and the room, okay? So my room, the one they wheeled me to, had two doors to go through before you get to the room, okay? And to this day, I believe that they put me in an infectious disease room. So the nurse got me hospital clothes, the usual cloth, cup, pitcher, and the standard IV. I had a round of nurses and doctors coming by, giving me antibiotics by IV, pain meds, and plan of action. So they were claiming that it was an infection, which I didn't buy that for no reason, okay? So they were going to do what's called a wound packing. Since the wound is actually the incision site from the operation, they said that my body had to heal, to do its own healing, and the packing of special gauze inserted will aid in the healing process from the bottom up. Now, the wound incision was 5 centimeters deep, so that's a lot of healing, okay? And with this process, the most painful thing was that the muscle and nerves were exposed, and that was very, very painful the first time they did the wound packing since that was done. I was breathing hard and in pain. That was the first time they did that. So I was breathing hard and I was in pain. But glad it was over. Okay. Then not less than 3 minutes after, here comes one of the surgical team doctors. I mean, listen, she was a real cocky know-it-all. And she came by and wanted to see the wound. Now, you think I want to experience that pain again? No, no, no. I told her, why don't you ask others and they'll tell you. And she said, I have to see it myself. And she didn't wait for my permission, but went ahead taking the bandages off, pulling out the specialized gauze. Oh, it's called iodoform. And just to take a look. I was crying, I mean, buckets of tears, and she didn't care. Another nurse, who later I found out she was a doctor herself, she held my hand while seeing me in pain and tears, crying. I mean, all I could say was, Jesus, that pain was deep. I mean, really, when I think about the pain, my eyes go wide and bugging out, okay? Looking back and forth like, ooh, where are you, right? I think that's a little PTSD I'm talking. But the black-haired doctor who ripped into my flesh said sorry after she violated me and didn't bother to respond. And I didn't bother to respond. I'm sorry. I just didn't bother to respond back to her. I gave her the deadliest, meanest look with tears still streaming down my cheeks. It was a look she will never forget in her entire lifetime. After that, my thoracic NPs came to me and they told me that from now on, I'll get this IV medicine called Dilaudid before any wound changes. And when it was time for wound change, a nurse would come, inject the Dilaudid into the IV, waited about 10 to 15 minutes, and the NP came to do the wound change. After the wound change, I would order lunch, eat, and take a nap. The drug side effect was drowsiness, but it was a well-deserved sleep, okay? And they say that drug is addictive, but I didn't care. I needed some relief, pain relief, okay? So now, this wound care, change of the gauze, had to be done every single day. Every single day, okay? So imagine if I did not have the Dilaudid, I would be experiencing that mind-blowing, okay, eyes bawling pain every single day, okay? But thank God. He was merciful, and I got the Dilaudid. Then I was scheduled for surgery to clean up the deep wound in order to flush out much of the old blood and fluids. That way, it prevents any kind of infection later as it starts to heal. Oh, and I managed to get the nurses to take photos of my wound so that I'll see what goes on step by step. And I took the photos from Manhattan VA to the next station, because I was in several different places at this point. But first, I was over back in Manhattan VA. So the wound care was daily, and I had again physical therapy with the same ladies as before. We got reacquainted, and I explained what had happened. They wished only the best and helped me get around again. Now, as many times my wound care bandages were changed and a number of different doctors visited, I never saw that black-haired doctor ever again. I had blood taken so many times and the IV stuck and replaced all over between my left arm, right hand, left hand, pinky as well. Oh, yeah, they got me in my pinky vein some kind of way. They did. Ugh. Both my arms and hands looked like connect the dots, okay? I was so bruised up and sore when I got home, I'll tell you. Anyway, as much as I had the daily wound care changes, it was getting apparent that they wanted someone else to care for me. This is Manhattan VA, people, okay? I thought that at first that they would keep me there and, you know, continue the wound care until it's totally fully healed. But that was a misconception on my part, I guess. Okay. Hey, first it was suggested for a family member to do it. Well, that's never going to happen. Okay. My daughter was practically traumatized seeing blood and fluid from her mother's back. Okay. So they organized a place and room at Northport VA Hospital for me to get continuing wound care there. I was fine with that. Okay. I was at Manhattan VA from November 2nd to November 15th and was transferred to Northport VA surgical unit on November the 16th. I was the only one in a 4-bed patient room, and it was a short stay. I spent Thanksgiving Day there from November 16th to Thanksgiving Day, and still had the daily wound care changes there. Then later I got weaned off the IV with Dilaudid and was given Tylenol in this place. Now with the Tylenol, it was 325 milligrams, 3 tablets of that a day before the wound care change, okay? So I had spent Thanksgiving there and still had a wound, you know, the wound daily care change. And the day after Thanksgiving, I was transferred to another section, which was called CLC4, which stands for Community Living Center. I had a room that looked like a mini hotel, honey. Took pictures of it too. That's just me, you know, documenting my journey. And then I found out that it was a nursing facility with a cute fancy name. So what the side that they had me on was the palliative side of the nursing care facility. The rehab side was full of men, so they didn't have an opening there, so they had to put me on the palliative side, where that's the side where people die, okay? I just had to make that a little explicitly clear here, you know? So that's why my room looked very nice and spiffy. So I took pictures of that, you know, and then I found out, I saw veterans come and go as they died. And the most annoying thing that kept me, they kept asking me, the staff there, you know, some of the nurses, some of the nurses' aides and stuff, they asked me, did you poop today? And how many times did I poop? Okay, I'm like, what is going on here? What is going on? Now, so I said, let's see. So from there, I celebrated Christmas and New Year's, and they had a little program going on, and so I didn't mind that little program, you know, what they had for the Christmas and decorations and all that stuff, so I didn't mind that. So I spent Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day there, and I'm from the hospital stays from Manhattan to the surgical unit side, to the CLC side. I had accumulated a lot of stuff over the time. And by the time my wound finally healed in January the 9th, I think it was January the 9th, I was discharged. And I had at least 7 bags of clothes, 4 blankets, trinkets from all the hospital stays, and my Rollator that I brought with me to go home for it. So I came home, and of course, no one was there to help, even though they knew, some of my family members knew that I was coming home this day. No one still came. I wouldn't blame them. I would not stop my whole day just to come and get me. You know, I mean, I'm an independent person. Remember that I said that. Okay. Not even the Uber driver. And he looked like he didn't want to help nobody anyway. So I hold everything myself. Taking frequent breaks, of course, you know, but I made it. And still today, I have more than enough meds and refills to properly make a better recovery than I did the last time, okay? I mean, I'm still in pain, just as not as frequent, but now I have new issues from the chest tube. I ended up having nerve damage to my rib, which I experienced numbing and swelling on the right side and upper abdomen. Hey, go figure, right? You go in with something different, you come out with something new. Okay. Whew. So it gets worse at night, and some days are better than others. I think I'm going to file a claim for this and some other stuff too as well. Well, this marks the end of my journey. I probably forgot some things along the way, but this was just an experience, I guess, just for the veterans that they go through. My time there may be different from male veterans, but yet and still, this is insightful. Thank you all for listening and joining me on my journey with the VA hospital. This is Priscilla Jones signing out.